greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Royal Park.
A fighting is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any way that you can see us, we can win. Listening to the skin, you know, we're behind the chair.
Mark Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
It's that feeling, Andy. I think, actually, having just finished watching the replay, one of the commentators mentioned about, you know, a year ago, could you imagine being in this type of situation? And I'm not sure. It would have been, yeah, it would have been more than I could have hoped for. But it's just... I feel pride.
It's relevancy. Like, it was before the game, I put out a tweet that's saying that I'm more nervous about this game. And what people don't know, just to set up this tweet, is what truly awful singers we both are.
Desperately so.
I tweeted that I am more nervous about this game than singing karaoke in front of a large hostile crowd, naked on a cold day, I'm still more nervous about this game. I mean, I was terrified before the game. There was so much on the line. Now that it's over, it sort of doesn't feel like quite as a big deal. Like, I'm really happy. But yeah, then, like, to come into a big game and actually win. And you know, there was nothing amazing about the game. It was the scrap, it was the wet, but we played well, and we played well twice against them now. One, of course, in heartbreaking circumstances, but the reality is, we get in a boxing ring with them, and we're trading punches, and we're doing alright. Now, for this, there's two rubbishy stats, one more rubbish than the other. Firstly, for anyone who said talked about the Young Giants, we were younger, considerably more so than the Giants on the day.
Oh, that was in my notes as well.
Yeah, just setting up the win. So we had 10 players under 50 games, they had 4, and we had an younger average age by almost a year. But secondly, this injury stat. A lot of that injury stat, it's done a bit on... It's not the most reliable measure, because it's not really who your most valuable players are. Like, the GWS, they're of their top 10 of their best and fairest last year, aside from Cornelio, almost all of them have played all year. The problem they've had is their fringe players, they've had Lids out, they've had Stevie Johnson out, both of whom are top-up players, but actually the core of their team's been in pretty good shape. Now, yes, they had Cameron out this week, and Cameron is a superb player, but, you know,
a big loss.
We were missing our centre forward, maybe for the rest of the year, but we were also missing our key backline distributor. We were not without our own problems. You know, this idea that they were considerably more disadvantaged, I'm not saying that that's a big part of the narrative, but for anyone who tries to sell that, it's not true. That was two top 8, possibly top 4 teams playing a tough game, and there was one team was clearly better than the other.
Well, we range across a lot of sports in trying to make sense of the Richmond Football Club, but it did it.
You can't. Felt a little... Richmond is almost unique, but anyway, go on.
Well, it did feel a bit like... like a boxing match where, you know, one of the fighters, you know, longer reach, more skilled, better technique, looked better at weigh-in. But when it came time to get down and dirty, wasn't really up for it.
I couldn't agree more. That was if anyone is a Frankie Edgar fan in the UFC, that's a classic Frankie Edgar fight. Like, I mean, the GWS, they wanted it. Liam Cameron actually said it at halftime in an interview. We want to play one-on-one football. Yes, you do, because you are... I mean, even Dustin Martin, who was... and I love this idea. You know, there was at least, you know, 6 or 7 guys on that field who were drafted higher than Dusty were in their respective draft classes, even though Dusty was a very high draft pick. And Dusty was by far the best player out there. Like, he looked like the Rolls Royce out there. And, you know, he sort of just showed them up for a lot of them. You know what the GWS need, Nick? I think they need more Kane Lamberts and less top 10 draft picks. They need guys who play like their football careers on the line. Now, I know that's what Muzungu is there to do, but it's one of them. But whereas we have a player team where 6 or 7 guys play like their careers on the line every time they go out there, and that's infectious to everyone else.
Well, except against St Kilda.
Okay, I have an excuse for that, which I don't necessarily believe. Apparently, the flu went through the team beforehand, so let's just see if they drop their bundle again before round 23, but maybe we can write that one off.
Well, we've made it nearly 5 minutes without talking about Dusty, so I reckon we should not talk about Dusty some more and talk about Flossie instead.
You go first.
Having just spent about 10 minutes desperately trying to find some intercept possession stats, I reckon there was 5 or 6 intercept marks easily. The champion data player ratings had him as second best on ground.
13 intercepts and 5 intercept marks. So both of which were game leading. By a long way. The second highest Richmond player had 3, which was Rance.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were close to leading the entire round. Like, that was a really good effort. It did almost make me a little bit sad to think, all that time we spent about thinking about Flossie either as a forward or a midfielder, maybe he's just a really good defender.
Yeah, I mean, this is in the top 10% of his game, so,
it was fantastic.
This is as good as he gets. To be honest, I feel a bit bad because I never said this on the pod, but when Vossi was out for a while, I got quite down on him because, basically the forward transition didn't work. He'd been moved back to the back line and, this is what he is. He's a one-paced backman who doesn't break lines, doesn't get a lot of the footy, but is great in the air, has pinpoint disposal, impeccable courage, and great reads the ball in the flight very well. He's good, and we're just going to have to accept that he's maybe never be a midfielder or a half forward, but he's quite good at what he does, and that was a superb game. The conditions did suit him immediately, but
it did. But it was well, about even in addition to all the intercept marks, he won a lot of contested ball as well, more so than usual. So
much more so. But he was the second highest rated player on the ground. For us, that is, normally it's your top players are in that top list. So fantastic game and well done.
But he won't get 3 votes.
Because would you give it to Cochin or Martin? Some people give it to Cochin.
Really?
Yeah, I know. People love Cochin's game, but here's why. But people
I really liked Cochin's game.
Oh, yeah, so
did
I.
Like it as much as Dusty's.
Yeah, and I'm loving Cochin's leadership at the moment because, we mock the unscientificness of this. But it's true, we just beat a team that's better than us, probably more talented than us. Like, you got to think something's going right there. And they seem to play well together. And I'll come to the rotations, but we ran out that game really hard. Like, that was a team trucking on. But yeah, the reason why the advanced metrics much preferred Dusty's game to Cochin's was that Dusty had 8 score involvements and Cochin had 2. That's not to say Cochin didn't have a great game. He was a second-best contested possession winner. Got plenty of the ground, was crucial in the second and third quarters, where we, which was moving day in that game, where we won in the second and third quarters. He's played great, but, Dusty was supreme in the second and third quarters. He 11 clearances a game. He was the one who really broke the game open.
I know, and he had one of my favourite monstering a hapless defender with a contested mark deep forward, which is one of my favourite genres.
Yeah, I just, and the thing we shouldn't forget that he's having an incredible year. Like on the champion data ratings, he's the most improved player in the AFL compared to what he was last year. So it's something to keep in mind.
Pretty good. He pulled quite a few votes last year as well.
He did, but yeah, the cynic would say he certainly knows which year's a contract year. Frankly, I'd be happy with 1 year contracts for the rest of his career. I would much rather have all this speculation and Dusty playing like he is and Dusty on a 10-year contract and Noda, and playing at last year's level. Anyway, which was still very good, as you pointed out. Who else stood out to you?
Well, Well, you were saying about Trent Cotchin, and yeah, he just worked really hard up and down the field, had a intensity to his defensive work, and he was part of the almost best passage of the day when he broke through a pack at about 35, 40 metres out from defensive goal and ended up with Camden McIntosh spraying the kick.
Oh, that was a great passage.
That was a great passage. What you may not have noticed was that Camden McIntosh started that passage standing next to Trent Cotchin.
Yeah.
Like, that's how big a tank he has. Like, yeah, the kicking does still have its moments, but he's as you say, the GWS are a team of thoroughbreds. They've got, I think, they had 13 first-round draft picks out there. And, you know, nobody was running with him. He's a pretty damn big, athletic, strong midfielder / back. And, yeah, who sprays the odd kick? He's
good. It was an extraordinarily bad kick because he managed to miss. If he just sort of lowered his eyes, there was a guy in the goal square which he could have easily chipped up to.
I know. Well, he did on replay. His the guy's opponent had just slipped over as he was going into his kicking motion. So it looked even worse than it was.
But fortunately for him, the GWS was so busily imploding that that he got a shot for goal and he made up for it a few minutes later. But yeah, it was and the moment where McIntosh monstered Scully. That was deeply satisfying as well. But that really was the story of the game, Nick. And maybe now's the time to talk about the running. Like, Prestia again was mediocre statistically, but, you know, he's the biggest runner on the field. And if you look at us, like, when the GWS were moving, our zone was always in place before they could get the ball down the field.
I know. Yeah. Sorry. It got to the point where I really enjoyed it when we got our ball forward, almost as much for the anticipation of seeing our zone dominate them, the ball coming back out again.
Yeah, and look, this is interesting because if you look at the numbers, there's a bit of a story here. We played Soldo even less than we do normally. He only played 39% game time, which is a new record. I said this, I think, last week, that it's the lowest game time I've ever seen of a non-injured player. Well, he exceeded that considerably this time. And we barely played Corey Ellis as well. He played 63% of the game, which is very low. So you have a lot of guys, and even Sheds only played 72%. So you've got guys like Broad playing 80% of the time, Lambert playing 88% of the time, Ellis, Caddy, Castagna played 88% of the time. You know, Cotchin, all these guys, I'm mentioning the guys who have to run both ways really hard. They're all playing long minutes. You know, they're not playing bursts, but they're getting to the right spots. They must be doing power of effective running.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of another analogy, there are moments when I feel like our forward field, like sort of where you're in a movie and the evil masterminds, robots are swarming over the good guys, because that's what it feels like in our forward line sometimes. Like, you just these unrelenting waves of pressure. Yeah, and, you know, I've gone back and forth on George Castagna two or three times this year because he does spray kicks.
really? And drop marks.
And drop marks.
And fumble at crucial moments.
And fumble at crucial moments. But he really does bring a lot of energy. And
28, he led the team in pressure acts, 28, on the weekend.
Yeah. And that goal at the end was so much fun. I mean, part of it because he uses his left foot for standing, like a lot of really quick players. But, I'm back on board.
Yeah, the guy, like, Castagna's really turned it around, and he was actually our sort of sixth-rated player. The guy who's sort of at the other end of the ground, who, you know, we both love, or at least I love, I think you do too, Short.
Yep.
He's fallen in a heap.
He's had a bad couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, like, but, I mean, he would be one. I don't know if he needs to play VFL or he just needs to rest. He's just burnt out. Because that's the thing is, we have, you know, Butler, Short, Broad, sorry, not Broad, but, you know, and Castagna, they're guys who've, and Rioli, most of those guys, with the exception of Rioli's, haven't played that much footy, and then now they're playing key roles in this team. So maybe he just needs, he's just getting a bit burnt out and needs to be refreshed.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, because I did notice that Broad spent some time on Toby Green.
He did, yeah, which is probably what defends his game, which wasn't wonderful statistically, but yeah, he was seemed to keep Green, who's been, for those who don't follow the GWS, which is most of the AFL,
kicks a lot of goals.
He's been kicking bags all year. He only kicked one against us.
We're not suspended.
Yes, exactly. They got trouble.
Well, I like Broad's game. I had assumed he wasn't long for the team, but I'm coming around.
The advanced metrics liked it too. He got touches. So I think he keeps his spot, particularly when potentially Short and Ellis are probably quicker for the shot than him. Or through.
I know. Okay. Corey Ellis did have some nice moments in the second half, I thought.
Yeah, had a unusually high of his 9 touches, which obviously is not enough, but 6 of them were contested. So you know, he was cracking in, and it was a few nice tackles. And you know, the knock on him that you hear from a lot of people is quite legitimately, I might add, is that he's not tough enough at the contest. But you know, there were some signs of, you know, a bit of alpha maleness going on.
Yeah, it was an encouraging effort, I thought. Did you punch the air or leap out of your seat when Nank kicked his goal?
I don't know. You know what? I was actually thinking a bit about that poor GWS player who had to try and tackle him, and like how terrifying that would have been, and the technique that I would have tried to use to tackle Nank in that position. I'm sure it would have gone as equally badly for me as it did for the GWS. But yes, I did punch the air. But frankly, there weren't a lot of goals in that game, so I punched the air for every goal.
For most of them. That was particularly fun.
It was. Glad you brought up the Rucks. So, interesting thing about Soldo and Nank. So, that wasn't a great game for our Rucks. The GWS had 4 times as many hit-outs to advantage and won the hit-outs in
Raw. Well, their backup Ruckman is 204 centimetres tall.
Yeah, and he's good, and he's better than Soldo. And they were also we were playing the outside game more, and they were putting more players to the contest, which is something Dimmer talked about in the press conference, which probably didn't help the rucking stats. But it was a problem. And whether this was the plan, I mean, the rain wasn't a surprise, but we barely played Soldo at all during the game. But here's the thing, Nick. Nank has played considerably less minutes in the last 2 weeks than he has for the rest of the year. So we are, I mean, his numbers aren't great. They're not bad. Like last week, they were decent. This week, they're okay. But he's clearly, his job is, it's the old-fashioned second ruck, is to give Nank a chop out and to rest him. We seem to not be playing Soldo in the forward line at all, which you can tell using you. Visually, but you know.
There are occasional sightings that don't go well.
Yeah. So look, but basically, his job is to give Nank a chop out. Now, it's gone so badly this week that I wonder whether Soldo doesn't get dropped. But you know, if the long term strategy is to give Nank a bit of a rest so he's not being flogged every single week, I think that's good coaching.
Yeah, I agree. And they might make a change, but then again, the team's been pretty successful, and obviously Hooley's coming back, so that's one change. But it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I want to mention someone who sort of, I thought Jeremy Patton gave Asprey a bit of trouble at the start of the game, and what struck me about it was how unusual that is for this season. Like, he is now at the stage of you take him being a good player for granted, and when, you know, a former number one overall draft pick gives him a bit of trouble, it's actually a shock.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Patton is an incredible footballer. In fact, the way, just going back to the point, general point about JWS, the fact that they managed to be a barely top four team with that amount of talent is just amazing.
I know.
But yeah, point taken. I like the thread. And I know how hard this is to make historical comparisons. Someone has said, is this the best back six we've had since 1982.
Hmm.
So.
Wow. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. The problem is, like, you forget how good sometimes players are. I know this even with the Rucks. I think the only other competition would be sort of 2001 with All-Australian Gasper and the Kellaway brothers. And Ben Holmes,
Leon Cameron off a halfback flank.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good back six, but certainly one to think about. I don't think you can compare errors.
No, but they are playing extremely well. Look, the last one I wanted, we don't talk about Caddy a lot, but. Wet weather suits him.
Dude, so he only had 14 touches, but... And he does frustrating things. Like, I hated it on the far wing... the AFL members wing, where he tapped the ball to himself rather than gathering when the ball was bouncing in front of him because he felt the pressure coming. I mean, he's too big a guy. He should grab that ball.
Too big and slow.
Yeah, exactly. And he stages for free kicks occasionally and things like that. So he does little frustrating things. Mm. But on the other hand, for a flanker, he's not a great inside player for a number one mid, but for a flanker, he's quite a good inside player, and he's got a big, strong body for a flanker. And he busts in, he does team plays, he runs a long way.
He knows how to play as a forward as well. Like, there was a moment where a GWS player was putting a lot of work into him just before a kick came into the goal square, because they know that he likes to block for Jack, so he gets a run at the ball.
Yeah, I think I'm quite comfortable with the Caddy trade. Certainly of the Caddy Prestia, and unfortunately they're a package deal because they're best mates, but certainly the Caddy one, I think we've got much better value for money thus far. But yeah, I can see why Caddy also frustrates people, because you can see why he could be more. People expect him to be Chapman, Stevie J, and he's not. But
no.
He's pretty good, and it's, you know what, that's a lot harder position to play. Like, controversial opinion, given him or Nick Vlosten, I suspect Nick Vlosten's a much better bloke because he's not on his third club, but I think if you would compare, they're about as good at their respective positions, but if you had to replace them, one position's a lot easier to replace than the other. Anyway.
Fair enough. Anything else from the game you wanted to mention?
No, not really. It was deeply disappointing when Butler was breaking through the centre of the ground and Jack got that free kick, because it's not, we won anyway, and I felt we got shafted by the umpires, but you know, I'm in full conspiracy mode with anything to do with the GWS, so I'm probably wearing the tinfoil hat a bit. I just love it.
They were pretty Tiggy Touchwood.
Yeah. I just love it when we're breaking through the centre of the ground like that. It's just, and especially Broad, who's, so as you know, fun. A favourite of mine. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. But yeah, overall.
Well, the last one for me was, you know, just speaking of the sport forwards, I really liked Rioli's first half. Like, a sort of, you know, when as a group they're going really well, sort of you get cameos throughout the game. I thought his second quarter really got us going.
Yeah, that's true, because he kicked the goal, and he also his big leap through the pack brought the ball to ground for Lambert's goal, which was Lambert's snap goal was probably the goal of the game. I think it was the go-ahead goal, or the one that drew us level, and it was huge in the context of the game. So it is. I don't know about Rioli. You know, some people saying he looks cooked and not quite up to it, and maybe, but you know, he's playing okay.
I think he's capable of more, but I think he's pretty sore this time of the year. But I'm not too worried. BFL. Unfortunately, the headline was Ben Griffiths popping a shoulder. I mean, no word on how severe, but you know, it's several weeks at the very best, and he's had some shoulder issues before.
So. Yeah, for those of us who've followed his career for a long time, it's a very Ben Griffiths-y thing to do to pop your shoulder while coming back from a concussion.
When you said, for those of us who've followed Ben Griffiths for a amount of time, I thought, that's been a largely wasted effort.
Yeah, but I mean, we all desperately love him back.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he can rock. Elton can't.
Elton's had a couple of weeks of competence as a forward, which makes me want to bring him back into the team, and then I remember how hopeless he is as a backup ruckman. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not... So anyway, that was sad, but they haven't had any statement on him yet, which is probably not a good sign, but cross fingers.
No, well, Jack Graham was a... And he rolled his ankle last week. It looked much worse than it turned out to be, but sadly he didn't play. But between him not playing, Callum Moore, Ryan Garthwaite, Shai Bolton, other than a miracle goal, not having big games, it was a little disappointing for some of the Richmond Tiger Talk favourites. But, yeah, Tyson Stengel, 19 disposals, 4 goals, 2. Yeah, he'd be, I reckon, from the guys who played VFL, he'd maybe the one who most put himself forward.
Yeah, it's, if we go the Dimmer's gone small forward crazy line up again, which we've won with, by the way, and drop Heat, well, you could replace Soldo for him, but again, as we've discussed, you may or may not want to stick with the current formulation, but I don't think any of our current small forwards, because Castagnon was the one on the bubble, and he was the best of the lot on the weekend.
No.
And
Butler was the worst, and he's been the best in recent weeks.
Yeah, it is.
You can't drop any of them. You've got to reconfigure the team.
Yeah, and Rioli, we were just thinking about, and I was going to add, you know, like, he is structurally really important, even if he's not as good as he was in round four. I don't think you can. I actually don't think you can drop him if you intend to win games. So yeah, there's no easy answers.
No, and look, slightly disappointing loss for the VFL team. They've been in very good form and had been kind of excited about the idea of having two teams in the finals, and they probably still will play finals, but yeah. But wings clip slightly.
Indeed. So it's not the end of the world. I thought, like, it actually the Richmond VFL sort of Twitter account's was very flat afterwards. You could tell very little tweets. But actually, you know, they're going to make the finals. They played really well. It was close. You know, I thought it was quite a respectable performance, all things considered. One thing I did notice was, I watched a bit of the game on the live stream, which was excellent. Ivy's cooked.
Yeah. Bless him.
Yeah.
Love him.
I love him. Love him to death. But, yeah. His cousin is definitely the right choice.
Okay. So, you know, Gold Coast Suns.
Everyone's second team.
Everyone's second team. I was going to say, it's hard to get excited about a Gold Coast Suns game, but...
And we're, other than the Brisbane Lions, we're the only team that actually have a reason to dislike the Suns.
We don't have a winning record against the Suns. We've also played the Suns less than any other team, which, you know, putting the tinfoil back on, if... You know, given they've been pretty horrible for most of their existence, you know, that the AFL clearly had some other clubs that maybe needed some softer games, but I'm not sure we've ever played them twice in a season. We've only played them 6 times.
Yeah, I can barely remember playing them in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And obviously for those who again haven't been following the Suns, Gaz is out for the year.
Yes, Gaz is out for the year, and people will have heard of Stephen May because Collingwood tried to sign him, but he's an extremely good key defender, and he's out. He was out this week, and was sort of seems unlikely he'll play. Which, you know, he and Jack have had some pretty ding dong battles over the years, but yeah, Gaz being out does make a big difference. They're capable of being pretty frisky and having, you know, we just spent some time talking about how much talent GWS have, but, you know, it's probably, you know, it's hard to say who you'd pick out of Cameron and Patton versus Tom Lynch and 2 metre Peter, but yeah, they've got some really big talented key forwards.
Yeah, I mean, people obviously know who Lynch is because he's the guy we should have drafted, but not in. He had a 5-goal game against North Melbourne, but you know, not in sort of the all-world form that he looked like he was going to be last year.
Yeah, they've got some. They've got a whole host of younger guys who've been high draft picks. Like, you know, I follow the draft pretty closely, and Braden Farini. I've not since spent a single moment thinking about him until this week when researching the show. He's quite a good young player.
Now, it would unfortunately be the most Richmond thing ever to lose this week.
I know, we're 19.5 point favourites, so we shouldn't lose, but it's entirely possible we will.
Yeah, so we've just got to hope that we keep up that consistent form and keep bringing it, because if they bring it as they show, they can beat almost anyone on the day.
I know. I don't even... one of the... perhaps not surprising. I've got quite a good sense about the shape of how the different AFL grounds are shaped and how that affects the plays. I don't have a clue about Metricon, although it's normally empty.
I'm playing at 7:30 on a Sunday night, so it'll be probably a bit humid, and I think the guys will have heavy legs after last week.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And GWS, Gold Coast put up a typically
run out the game, it would be fantastic.
Yeah, typically heartless performance in Melbourne, so they'll be nice and fresh from. So that has me worried, but overall we should win.
Very happy with how we are. Looking forward to more of the roller coaster.
Yeah, and Nick, just before we wrap this up, this could come down, providing we're not going to beat every bad team we play before Geelong. Yeah. We're going to drop one.
There's going to be another banana peel.
Yeah, that's just the way AFL's been this year. No team is dominant, particularly not Richmond. That game against Geelong, Nick, round 22, that could be not only for a top four spot, but for a top to avoid Adelaide, to play Adelaide in Adelaide, which I think both Geelong and Richmond have comprehensively proven they're not going to play the Crows in Adelaide and come away with a W. Not proven, but indicated.
Mm.
God, that could be huge. Imagine going down round 22, Cadinia Park. I'd love to beat them.
I've hated Cadinia Park for 30 years.
Oh. Just so nice to play meaningful football.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.